say, just look at that filly. It's one of the finest French racehorses I've ever seen.
That was an excerpt from Gigi. Another in our series, a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for the more tolerant listener, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Lydia Dustbin, Screaming Lord Fennelly and the Savages, Lady Trafalgar,
Jesus Square,
and of course Mr. Kenneth Hall, Britain's answer to Yul Brynner. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Hall.
Hello and welcome to Beyond Our Ken, the only radio show that gives stamps. With each show listened to, we issue 6 stamps, and valuable gifts are offered by the BBC. For 10,000 stamps, you get a recording of seagulls. For 20,000 stamps, you get one of Richard Dimbleby's waistcoats. And for 40,000 stamps, you get Richard Dimbleby. Well, as usual, a lot's happened since we last met. On Monday, I was dealing with correspondence when the telephone rang. Hello, Kenneth Horn speaking.
Hello, Horn. Mrs. Humphrey Borum Stiff here. Look, I just want to let you know that Mrs. Borum Stiff and I are at home at 6:45 this evening.
Yes, and so am I. On Wednesday, I stayed in and read a couple of good books. One was a true adventure story called I Came Back from the Orinoco by Colonel Mungo Marshbanks, and its sequel, Why, by Mrs. Mungo Marshbanks. However, it's time now for our new Hornorama feature.
Topics of our time, in which we take a closer look at people and events in the news.
1964 marks the 400th anniversary of the birth of William Shakespeare, and we've invited one of the greatest Shakespearean actors to read the very familiar and famous soliloquy from Hamlet.
To be or not to be, that is a question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing in them, to die, to sleep, no more, and by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to. Tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. To die, to sleep, to sleep, perchance to dream.
Yes, thank you very much indeed.
Ah, there's the rub. Yes.
Yes, well, I think we've heard enough, really. Thank you very much, Peter O'Birkinshaw. And just before you go, now tell us what you consider the greatest quality of Shakespeare's prose.
The way it sort of flows.
Now then, hand in hand with beauty competitions go those rippling muscle men who compete for the title of Mr. Universe. We're delighted to have with us our representative, Mr. Great Britain.
Good evening, sir. I'm delighted to be here.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming along.
Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, now tell us something. Tell us something, will you, about the contest?
Well, sir, it's for the body beautiful, of course. Yes, the body beautiful. Yes. And among the prizes to be won, the champion is entitled to take out the winner of the most beautiful girl contest for a whole year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dancing and drinking and living it up. Oh, 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 I can tell you.
I hope you don't mind me saying this, sir, but looking at you, I'd hardly say that you were a likely contender.
Well, yeah,
now, why are you entered in this contest?
I'm defending my title. I'm last year's winner.
The traffic chaos in London continues, and the only suggestion offered by public figures is further penalizing the already harassed motorist. But let us here pay tribute to those ever helpful courteous friends of the motorist, the traffic wardens.
Oh, dear. The warden standing by my car. I do hope I... Oh, good gracious, it's you. Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles. Don't worry, you've still got a few minutes left on the meter.
Who fancy you being a traffic warden, Rodney? Yes. How do you like it?
Well, you know, spying on people, reporting them, getting them into trouble. It's all such fun. So what do you think of me in uniform?
Who's absolutely dolly?
Dolly?
Then blue and yellow's always been very you.
Very me, yes. Thank you. Mind you, I get a lot of rude remarks. Oh, they're wicked, some of those beastly motorists.
Sure. Well, let's face it, Roddickins, your lot aren't very popular.
No.
I'm sure you're different.
Of course I'm different.
No. I mean, underneath that uniform, there's a human being with human understanding and fellow feeling.
Oh, but Charles.
Well, Roddickins, I better be off now. Mm-hmm. Wish you luck.
Thank you, Charles. Oh, Charles, just a minute.
Yes, Rodney?
The meter's just gone to excess.
Oh, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would. There's a 10-shilling fine, ducky.
Oh.
Yes, I'm happy to...
Which brings us to our panel of experts who are waiting to discuss this week's searching question. Top of the table, the inimitable Hanky Flower.
Yes, what do you say? I got on this tram this morning, you'll see. Now, I got on this tram, and there's this woman, you'll see. No, sir. She's got this box of watercress, you'll see. It's a funny woman, I thought. No, just a funny woman, you'll see. And, dear, what did you call me when I came on?
The inimitable Hanky Flowers.
Inimitable? That's a fine thing to say. Everyone imitates me. Well, you should hear that chap Frankie Howard. He does it all the time, you see.
Thank you very much. Now, next, our pop singer who hasn't actually recorded this hit song, but definitely must have inspired I Who Have Nothing. Here he is, Ricky Livid.
Hello, Nat. Happy to report good sales for my latest disc, If I Had a Screwdriver.
Well, is that the A side or the B side?
Well, according to my record company, they said both sides was B.
And once again, we're delighted to meet our charming socialite, London's answer to Liverpool with the Kensington sound, Charlotte Bellingham.
Hello, Dishy. How divine to be here again. I say, guess what I've been doing this week?
Dare we?
Silly Billy. No. I've been out among the road sweepers getting their point of view for an article I'm writing for Tittle Tattle magazine.
Well, we're looking forward to reading it. What's it called?
The Men I Swept With.
And finally, our old friend, Arthur Fallowfield.
Well, I was strolling round the farm the other evening in my oilskin, sou'wester and kinky gumboots. When suddenly I heard a girl scream, "Help! Help! Help!"
And what did you do?
Well, I let go of her pretty sharp.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our panel of experts. And this week's searching question is... Should there be a better understanding of teenagers? Now, Hanky Flowers.
Yes, well, no, you see, the trouble is all the elegance, the charm of yesteryear is gone, you see. I mean, in the old days, a boy used to take a girl out in a handsome cab, you see, candlelight dinners, flowers and all that. I mean, what is it now? No, what is it now, you see? On the back of the motorbike, a turn up the Great North Road, into the transport cab for sausage and chips. Yes, big discussion about putting the world right. They have an argument, she throws the plateful at him, and he spends the rest of his life with a chip on his shoulder.
All right, now, Ricky Livid, now, what's your opinion?
They're a good lot. I mean, the kids of today, I mean, they've got a lot of good sense and good taste and that. I mean, they buy my records and that. And speaking as a teenager myself, I may say that adults of today want a bit of understanding. I mean, they condemn us for doing the same things what they done. I mean, we got the Beatles. They used to mob Rudolph Valentino. I mean, they laugh at the words of our song, but what about I lift up my finger and I say, tweet, tweet, shush, shush, now, now, calm, calm. I'll tell you something else, too. They say we watch too much television and that they never had it. Well, I mean, I come from a family of 14. And all I got to say is that I reckon it's a good job we have got the television. Wow.
Wow, yes. Now, Charlotte Bellingham.
Well, Mummy always says the only thing wrong with the younger generation is that she no longer belongs to it. See, that's what Mummy always says. But, of course, you know, Mummy's awfully witty and with it for a grown-up. I mean, I remember once a lot of my chums had come round for a party and we were all on the bitter lemon. It's pretty wild. And, you know, Mummy came in and said, "We're launching Charlotte into society," and broke a bottle of champers over my head. Oh, it was absolutely fab. Everyone just curled up.
Yes, including you, no doubt. All right. Now, what do you think about all this Arthur Fallowfield?
Well, Daddy always says the answer lies in the No, I mean, the trouble with these youngsters today, they don't really know how to live. Down in the country, we don't waste all our time sitting in coffee bars talking about sex. We just get on with it. Sleeping, plowing, and sowing. I mean, you get one of these leather-clad nits down on a farm, shove a pitchfork in his hand, and he wouldn't know what to do with it. Well, I jolly soon...
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Well, that's all from our panel for this week. And right now, some friends of ours who Mummy always enjoys, the Fraser Hayes Four.
Love, love, it's time for love. Every little thing is fine for love. Love, love, it's time for love. Every little thing is right for love. But this can't be love, because I feel so well. No sighs, no sorrows, no sighs. This can't be love, I get no dizzy. So confused today. No, this can't be love, 'cause I feel so well. No tears, no sorrows, no sobs and sighs. No, this can't be love, get no dizzy spell, 'cause my head is not in the skies. My heart does not stand still, just hear it beat. This is too sweet to be love. This can't be love,
to our drama of the week, another screen epic adapted for the small microphone.
The latest adventure of 008.
You mean 007?
He's aged a bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present From Frinton with Love, or Bond and Brunettes.
My name is Bond, Kenneth Bond.
Our story starts in Frinton, at the headquarters of an evil international organization known as Spectre.
Quiet! Quiet!
Number three.
Yes, number one.
Where's number five?
I don't know. Ask number seven.
Number seven, where's number five?
I'm number 20.
You? You, are you number five?
No, it's 32.
For the last time, five!
Bingo! Oh.
Very funny, Colonel Klimp. Now, cut out the jokes and let's get on with the plot. You have chosen a girl for the job?
Yes, number one. She will pretend to be in love with Bond, help him to steal the electronic decoding machine, thinking that she is working for the Smash organization. Then we of Spectre will move in and steal it from Smash, and then sell it back to Smash.
Good. Any questions?
Yes. Why don't we just steal it for ourselves in the first place?
You stupid fool.
Oh, thank you.
If we do that, there will be no book, no film, no royalties, nothing. You should know better, number 20. What's your name?
Fleming, sir.
Now, Colonel Klimp, are you sure the girl is all right? From what we know of Bond, he's an attractive devil. She won't really fall in love with him.
I can assure you, sir. She's only interested in his electronic decoder.
Good. Everything is set, then. All we need to do is to wait for Mr. Bond to fall in our little trap.
Miss Q, is Bond there?
Oh!
Good. Send him in.
You sent for me, Mr. M?
Yes, put that girl down and come and sit here. Now, Bond, it's about this letter we just received. It appears you've got a fan.
Yes, sir. You don't think it's a trifle effeminate, do you?
Put that fan down and listen to me. A girl has just written this letter saying that she's fallen in love with you.
Well, it's not surprising. They all do.
But this one has offered something fantastic.
Not surprising. They all do.
Maybe, but this one happens to have a self-calibrating, interlocking key, perforated disc, electronic recorder.
Does she?
Bond, do you realize what this means? A Commonwealth Garden's secret code can be broken down in less than 10 seconds.
Good, it's about time we did something about the common code.
Bond, you are to go to Istanbul, relax for a few days by the Bosphorus, and wait till you're contacted.
It really is important for us in the Secret Service to get this machine.
Vital.
All right, you know what's Bosphorus.
Book in at the Hotel Parakeet. The girl will contact you in her own time. Her name is Tanya Romanova. Here's a picture of her knitting socks.
What a lovely pair.
To Istanbul, then. Good luck, Bond.
Thank you. Next morning, I set out for Istanbul. Hot, steaming whirlpool of intrigue and mystery where sinister faces lurked in the swirling mists. But that's enough about Euston Station. When I arrived in Istanbul, I summoned a taxi.
Where to, sir?
Hotel Parakeet.
Right one.
Wait. Who are those men huddled together over there? They're throwing huge stones at us.
I've heard of hailing a cab, but this is ridiculous.
The hotel and quickly. From what had just happened, two things were obvious. One, someone knew about my arrival in Istanbul. And two, Eric was determined to do that terrible hailing a cab joke. I checked in at the hotel and went up to my suite and poured myself a long drink. I ran into the bathroom. There was no one there. And then I opened the door of my bedroom.
Hello, Mr. Bond.
There was a girl in my bed.
I've been waiting for you.
She said. I thought. This situation is full of Eastern promise.
I am Tanya Romanova.
How solemn you look. Smile, Tanya, smile. That's better. Now, what can I do for you that won't get us taken off the air?
At last we meet, Mr. Bond. I have been in love with a photograph of you for years. You really are quite different from your photo.
Oh, which one was it?
Lying on your tummy on a rug in front of the fire.
Yes, well, I have changed a bit since then. Now, Tanya, the electric decoder.
Oh, that can wait until tomorrow. Come over here and kiss me.
I moved towards the bed, but suddenly I heard a noise. I whipped out my Beretta. All right, come on out from under the bed, whoever you are.
Shimenkov,
It's you.
That's right, it's me, Shmenkov.
What are you doing under the bed?
Take no notice of him, he's a little potty.
All right, Shmenkov, talk.
I've come here to warn you, Bond. As long as you remain here in this room with Tanya, you are in danger.
You dear old-fashioned thing.
There is a man who will stop at nothing to get that decoding machine.
Who is it, Shmenkov?
His name is...
Peculiar name.
Bond, look. He's been kicked by a boot with a poison spike on it.
Left the hotel immediately. Tanya stayed with a friend, and I slept in the car. It circumvented any danger and also pleased the BBC enormously. Next morning, Tanya brought the decoder to the station, and we boarded the night train to Trieste. Our compartment was empty except for one man opposite. I looked up from my paper and found myself staring into a Luger automatic. The man spoke.
Excuse me, do you mind if we have the window closed?
No, not at all.
Thank you, Mr. Bond.
You know who I am?
We know all about you and Tanya Romanova.
It's not true, we are just good friends.
Now come, Tanya.
Stay right where you are or I shoot.
You wouldn't dare.
Why not?
This is a non-smoker.
You won't get away with this. Are you from Schmersh?
No, East Molesey, actually.
And who is the other man?
What other man?
The one over there.
Where?
It's a very, very old trick, but nobody outwits Bond. Now, quick, Tanya, into the corridor. It was a non-corridor train. We caught the next one, and at a prearranged stop, another British agent boarded the train and made contact with us.
Excuse me, have you got a light?
Certainly you are.
Thank you. The Kippah is flying, half-mast in the grapevine.
Two pomegranates are sitting on the wall.
The magician has vanished up the flue pipe.
Where are the water wings of my Aunt Emily?
In the pantry by the Gorgonzola.
Good. Good, you're my contact then.
Yes, Bond. Nicholas Philpotts of National Interpol Territories. In short, a NIT.
This is Tanya Romanova. We were just having some tea. Would you care to join us?
Thank you, yes. Well, Bond, you have it?
I've got the equipment.
Yes, I can see that, dear. But what about the decoder?
Now, don't worry, Philpotts. We have it.
Thanks for the tea. All right, Bond. You'd better hand the machine over to me.
When we reach Trieste.
No, now.
Now, look here, Philpotts.
I said now,
he's got the gun.
Now, wait a minute, wait. You're not Philpotts.
Correct, Bond. I'm Krakow of Spectre. We intercepted your man, Philpotts. He's now at the bottom of a goldfish bowl.
Oh, of course, I should have known you weren't British when you were drinking your tea just now. You didn't crook your little finger.
All right, I count to three and pull the trigger.
Not so fast, Krakow. What you don't know is that concealed in my buttonhole flower is a poisonous spray.
And what you don't know is that up my left nostril is a deadly invisible ray.
And if I unbutton my shirt, there's a Sten gun.
And if I unzip my... No, perhaps not. Wait. Bond.
Yes?
I've got a hand grenade down my left sock.
Well, how untidy. Pull your socks up.
Right.
Well, there were many more adventures to come. I was chased by a helicopter, which swooped so low it took the top of my hair off. Motorboat chase, two more gun duels, and then eventually Tanya and I reached Venice. One morning, I crossed the road to the hotel. Realized this was Venice and went to my room. Hey, I say, what are you doing searching my room?
Nothing, sir. I'm the chambermaid.
Oh, I see. All right, then.
Wait a minute, Bond. I recognize this woman. It's Colonel Crimp.
What? Why didn't you say so before?
I couldn't. I'm playing both parts.
So, you're Colonel Crimp of Smash.
Yes, but I'm really working for Spectre. I want that decoder, Bond, and I mean to get it. Look at my shoe.
There's a poison spike in the toe.
Yes, even more effective than stiletto heels. Take that!
Missed.
And that!
Missed.
I Honestly, I could kick myself.
Well, that's the end of her. Now, come, Tanya, it's all over. Let's take a ride in a gondola together. Well, Tanya, another Bond epic comes to its close. I must confess it was baffling. I often wasn't sure who was who, and so much has been going on. We've had so little chance to be alone together.
We are now, Bond.
Yes, oh, Tanya, this is the moment I've been waiting for. Come on, kiss me.
No, just a minute. Before I kiss you, I think there's something you ought to know.
Oh, what's that?
I'm not really Tanya Romanova.
What? Then who are you?
I'm Masterson of MI5.
That's all for now. Next week, we shall be reviewing the autobiography of a bassoon player's mother, which he calls Bringing Up the Woodwind. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener in Stoke Newington. Why are magician's rabbits always called voila? Cheers.
You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show in which you heard Kenneth Horne, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. Eric Merriman wrote the script, your announcer was Douglas Smith, and the show was produced by John Simmons.